Good morning, everybody. Earlier in the year, I spoke a little bit about, I don't know if anyone remembers, about us being peaches and not coconuts. Hands up if you remember that. So the idea is that as a community, the difference, we're to be peaches and not coconuts. And a coconut hasn't really got much substance on the inside and is very, very hard to crack on the outside. And a peach is really, really tight on the inside, and it's really, really easy to get into from the outside. And that actually we're supposed to be like that. That actually we should be really, really easy to join and to get involved in as a community, but really tight in the core. Not like a coconut, which is very little substance and really, really hard to crack. So we're to be peaches and not coconuts. And I was saying that in the context of, okay, as a church, how do we grow? You know, how do we take, you know, there's a group of people, loads of us have been around for, you know, for ages and friendship groups for ages. You know, how do we grow? We've got a tight core, but we need to have really, really blurred edges. And so for me, these kind of social events that we're doing, so the early birds and the Kaylee, and we're doing a couple of other events, we're doing a Christmas production at Christmas, we've got a comedy night at Christmas. These opportunities or these events are specifically designed to actually help the church grow, guys. It's opportunities for you to invite your neighbours, invite your friends to really, really easy stuff where people can make relationships and connect with one another. And for me, it's kind of a key part of our strategy. And it can't happen. You know, the leadership can't make it happen. It needs every single one of us to actually own it and go, actually, you know, my neighbour would really enjoy a Kaylee. That's really, really easy sell. It's way easier than inviting them to a Sunday morning or a comedy night or whatever. You know, I'm going to take responsibility and actually, you know, do the scary thing and invite someone, really think about it and own it. And that requires all of us to do that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Peaches, not coconuts. Okay. So we're talking about the presence of God, and what I'm going to share this morning is nothing new, really. It's just kind of almost just an encouragement to just keep going. You know, it's, you know, generally all I ever talk about is, you know, what Jesus says is the greatest two commands: love God and love your neighbour. And if we're going to just all do that, you know, the Christian life just all flows from there, really. So that, essentially, that's all I'm going to really say again this morning, because that's all it's really about. If we really take responsibility and really, you know, give our lives to that, you know, we live the most beautiful lives. It's really, really simple. Question. I'd like you to bring to mind who is maybe the meanest person you've ever experienced. Just bring them to mind, the person who's just like, you know, just really, they're a really mean person. So now I'd just like you to, without swearing, I'd like you to maybe just shout out, you know, how they made you feel. You need to be louder, please.
Inadequate.
Inadequate. Horrible. What did you say? Crushed. Scared. Threatened.
Abused.
Small.
Cross.
Okay. Now what I'd like you to do, just pray blessing on them, forgive them. That was impromptu. Although, seriously, you might want to do that at some point. Now what I'd like you to do is bring to mind the nicest person you've ever met. The person who's just really, really just thought, wow, that person is just so encouraging or so nice. Okay, now shout out some words of how they made you feel. Loved, special, fantastic, encouraged, accepted, empowered,
cozy.
Is it Clive? Joyful.
Ecstatic.
Wow, that's seriously nice. At ease. Valued. Warm on the inside. Fantastic. That's really cool. The reason I got you guys to do that is because I was thinking about how, you know, the presence of God, and I was thinking about a couple of things. I was thinking about how in Exodus, when Moses, he says, you know, his face has just shone in the glory, and he just had amazing, Moses had amazing encounters with the Lord, and he says, Lord, you know, show me your glory, I want to see more. And Lord hides him in the cleft of the rock, and he passes by, and God in his presence reveals his character. And I thought, that's really, really interesting. And I thought, you know, God, when he currently presences himself in the life of Christ, he reveals his character. And there's something about kind of the connection between the presence of God and actually revealing the character of God, which is the goodness of God. And at the moment, yeah, you know, just for the last few years, I've just been really stuck. You know, I just keep coming back to it, stuck in the book of one John. For me, it sets the bar so high of what it means to just to walk, you know, a life of love. You know, being a lover of God, but that also means being a lover of people. And I just want to read from 1 John 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and him in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and we have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in the world. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment that we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. And for me, there's just this real connection between, you know, just hearing, you know, the presence of God with you, you're abiding in God, but actually it means to love one another. And I was just thinking about, you know, if we as the church are to be the temple of God, as Ephesians 2:22, God is dwelling with us, he's building us to a dwelling place of his presence by his Spirit, then actually as the carriers of the presence of God, we need to reflect the character of God. And so all of those things that we brought to mind, what's the nicest, you know, who's the nicest person you've ever met? That is what people need to feel when they meet us. And that's a real challenge. It's a real challenge for me. I definitely don't have that nailed. But that's my goal. That's what I'm aiming for. And it's kind of applies for us individually, but also for us corporately. Because when we encounter the presence of God, we encounter his character, we encounter his love, his affirmation. He says, guys, you're brilliant. I love you. Keep going. I believe in you. All those kind of things. And now we have the presence of God. So therefore, we need to reflect that side of God as well, that encouragement. And I think, guys, I think we are actually a really loving community already. So that's why I say I'm not saying anything new, really. I think you guys as a group of people, or us as a group of people, we're really nice people. Yeah. And we're a really loving community. And so on one level, all I want to say is, guys, let's keep going. Let's keep going, because that's what it's about. Let's just be the most encouraging group of people in Marlow. If you had kind of in mind, who is the most loving group in Marlow, would they think River Church? I don't know, maybe they would, but I think that should be our goal. So, don't leave it to someone else. Actually, let's just all take responsibility for doing it. Does that sound okay? So that's point one, is that character of God, presence of God, they go hand in hand, and that applies to us. How's that sound? Is that okay? The second thing I want to share this morning, really quickly, is just about practicing the presence of God. I was thinking about this. It's just something that takes practice. I like Carl Will said, you know, I never need to contend for the presence of God. And I thought, you know, that's how I think about it as well. You know, there needs to be no working up to it. And, oh, I'm going to go through this and then this and then this. And then suddenly I'll be in the presence of God. It's like, actually, all you need to do is just lean in. And he's there. And when I was 18, I got a job as a cleaner in a nursery school. And in that time, I learned some really, really invaluable lessons. Three times a week, I'd go and I'd do a few hours cleaning this nursery school. And they became the most amazing times. I would just worship as I just mop the floors and just pray and just be with God. And I found that in just doing the most menial tasks, they came alive. And it's like the whole world, the rest of the world didn't exist. And it was just me and God just mopping the floor, brushing the floor, cleaning the loos, just me and God together. And what I found is that actually it doesn't matter what tasks we do. It doesn't matter like our areas of responsibility. Like, God can be in everything, and everything can be holy if we let him in. There's a guy who was around in the 1600s called Brother Lawrence, and he wrote a book called Practicing the Presence, which people like theologians and cool guys like A.W. Tozer and John Wesley, they recommended to people. And I just want to talk a bit about, just read a bit off, I pulled off Wikipedia about Brother Lawrence. And he was basically this French guy who was in the army and then spent the rest of his life just in a monastery. He wasn't clever enough to be a cleric, so he just kind of did the dishes. And people from all around used to come and just meet him because he was an extraordinary man of peace and kindness. And it said this: he was assigned to the monastery kitchen, where amidst the tedious chores of cooking and cleaning, at the constant bidding of his superiors, he developed his rule of spirituality and work. In his writings, Lawrence writes, "Men invent means and methods of coming at God's love. They learn rules and set up devices to remind them of that love, and it seems like a world of trouble to bring oneself into the consciousness of God's presence. Yet it might be so simple. Is it not quicker and easier just to do our common business wholly for the love of him? Some believe Brother Lawrence meditated on the love of God so much it made him levitate. For Brother Lawrence, common business, no matter how mundane or routine, could be a medium for God's love. The sacredness or worldly status of a task mattered less than the motivation behind it. Nor is it needful," this is Brother Lawrence writing, "nor is it needful that we should have great things to do. We can do little things for God. I can turn the cake that is frying on the pan for love of him. And that done, if there is nothing else to call me, I prostrate myself in worship before him who has given me grace to work. Afterwards, I rise happier than a king. It is enough for me to pick up but a straw from the ground, but for the love of God." Then he carries on. "I began to live as if there was no one save God and me in the world. The time of business does not differ with me from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of in my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees before the blessed sacrament." That's cool. So it's just a real simple life, really inspiring. Just a man who just in the midst of things just realized, you know, everything is holy. You know, wherever we are, you know, we're never alone. We can be by ourselves, but we're never alone. Whether we're out walking in the countryside, whether we're sitting at our desks, whether we're, you know, washing the dishes, we can just be with God all the time. But, says Brother Lawrence, it requires practice. So for me, it's something that's so easily lost, because life is so distracting and so interesting. And so you can just easily just get really, really distracted. And so for me, it's just something that we need to constantly practice. So for me, it's really, really helpful just before I go to bed at night, to read some of the Bible. And just as we turn the light off, I just sit there and just go, "Lord, you know, I just give my dreams to you. I thank you for this day," and just dialogue with the Lord. And then do the same as I wake up, just as I'm getting up. "Lord, I just want to give this day to you. Holy Spirit, fill me up afresh. I just want to be with you today. I want to represent you today." And just start the day like that. And then almost as you go through the day, I just kind of, as I'm walking somewhere, just sing worship to the Lord. Just make up your own worship songs, or just, you know, just pray or whatever. And, I don't know how to do it. It's just, you've got to make up your own ways. But it's something about just practicing, just being with God at all times, just brings life alive. It brings a richness to things, and it makes us happy as a king. So yeah, that's it. Isaiah 29. I'm done. I'm going to finish with Isaiah 29, verse 13. Then the Lord said, because of this, people draw near to me with their words. They honor me with their lip service, but their hearts, but they remove their hearts far from me. Their reverence for me consists of tradition. It's learned by rote. And I think easily we can get, even in charismatic churches, we can just get into our own traditions. We can get into our own rotes. And actually the Lord, he doesn't want lip service. He wants our hearts.